The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As you know, NPHET will meet this afternoon to formulate its advice for government on the planned easing of restrictions next Friday. Almost all restrictions are scheduled to be lifted at the end of the week, but a worrying trend in cases and hospitalizations, it seems likely now that some restrictions will remain in place, including the use of COVID certs for indoor hospitality. Now, to talk about all of this, we're joined by Professor Kingston Mills, Director of Trinity Biomedical Sciences Institute, and Independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Reig. Good morning to you both. We'll go to you, Kingston, first. How concerned are you about the recent COVID numbers? Because we were told way back in August that they probably would rise and then would plateau and reach some sort of steady state. I don't think we expected them to be this high.
Good morning, Pat. No, I mean, I think it's very worrying that the numbers have now gone up to over 2,000 a day on some days. And while it was expected that we would see an increase in numbers, one would have hoped that we would be following the trends in the rest of Europe, but we're not. We're like the UK or, the only two countries really that have significant numbers of cases now, about tenfold more than most European countries per 100,000 population. So it is very worrying that we're still at those high levels of cases. And also the hospitalizations are going up with well over 400 in hospital now, and it's going to put some pressure on the healthcare system.
Mm. Now, do you have any theory as to why the UK and ourselves have these high numbers in spite of a very positive vaccination program?
I have theories. I'm not sure how accurate they are. I think part of Ireland's problem is its proximity to the UK, and the UK have been very liberal with how they've dealt with it in recent months, and the numbers there are even worse than they are here in Northern Ireland, of course, and there's a bit of a spillover from that because of travel. The other issue is we did very well with the vaccination program, rolling it out very quickly and getting very high numbers, actually one of the best in Europe, and that's been fantastic. And it saved loads of lives and lots of hospitalizations. But now what it seems to be happening is that the numbers in the young population were the highest about a month ago. And then when vaccines were introduced, it dropped in the younger population, particularly the 13 to 18 group, which a month ago accounted for 18% of all the cases, and the last week was only 6%. So really showing the huge benefit of vaccination in that population. But now what's happening is the older population, the numbers are increasing. And I anticipate that this is a result of waning immunity, that the vaccines were given early to some of these groups. Some of them got the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which don't induce as good neutralizing antibody response as the mRNA vaccine. So I think now we're seeing the vaccines are struggling to take care of the Delta variant to start with. And now after 6 months or more, the data from the US has shown that it drops off. And very importantly, data from Israel showed that it dropped as low as 50% after two doses, even of the mRNA vaccine. And when they gave a third dose, it went back up to 95%. So huge benefit of a booster vaccination there.
Obviously, there is massive pressure on the government to open up. All the lobby groups are very active and very vocal. And you can understand one sector in particular that has not had any respite at all from being closed, the nightclub sector. And they're very vocal in trying to ensure that they do get to open in some way. But what do you think NPHET should advise based purely on science and medicine?
Yeah, based purely on science, I think that I'm not a medic, so I'm based purely on science. It is clear that the vaccines do prevent severe disease, and they do reduce infections. They don't completely prevent infection, but they do reduce the number of people that get infected. So unvaccinated people meeting up in areas where there are significant people coming together, you're more likely to get transmission. by using the COVID cert for admission to, in particular, indoor events, but also even large outdoor sporting events, for example, I think there's a huge benefit in terms of reducing the risks of transmission. So in my view, I would like to see the COVID certs maintained for hospitality, but extended to other areas of that hospitality. And that could be complemented, if they wanted to and were willing to introduce it, by rapid antigen testing. So for the people who hadn't been vaccinated, for them to take the choice of having two antigen tests a week if they were going to work, or if we're going to a sporting event, to take it the morning or the day before. So I think that's something that we've been slow here to embrace. Mm. And it would be an alternative to the use of just solely the vaccination, but also recovery from infection. Recovery from infection now gives good immunity. That's pretty well shown. So they could be included in the COVID cert, and that would make things safer.
Now, the argument is often advanced by those who, for some reason or another, are opposed to vaccination or unwilling to be vaccinated, that with 92% of the adult population vaccinated, that they going into a pub or a restaurant would not, you know, be likely to harm those people if they themselves are infected. So what are the vaccinated complaining about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's in the ideal scenario, if you got 90% of the whole population vaccinated, you should get close to herd immunity. But unfortunately, we're not anywhere near that. And the other issue is that the Delta variant is so transmissible that that figure is probably now 95%. So you're not going to create a situation where the unvaccinated are safe, or indeed the vaccinated that are susceptible because of waning immunity, with the current level of vaccination. And that's the unfortunate situation that we're in. So we can't rely on the 90% that are vaccinated to prevent infection in the 10% that are not.
Yeah. Now, we know the figures, you know, some 300,000 people or thereabouts who are not vaccinated at all. Some of them may have very sound medical reasons for not. Many are just scared or ill-informed or whatever, but they're not doing it. Then you have 70,000 people who have one shot, and they're being encouraged, if you got one, please get a second. But then you're doing the sums, and you're saying 3.5 million people completely vaccinated, 92% of the adult population or thereabouts completely vaccinated. Where are the rest? And the answer is very simple. They're the under-12s. What do you do about the under-12s? They may not get very sick, but if they harbour the infection and then they give it to someone who's unvaccinated, isn't that, in essence, the big problem, a huge reservoir of potentially infectable people, i.e. the children, and then those adults who don't get vaccinated would be vulnerable to those asymptomatic children who are playing away?
That is absolutely true. I mean, right now, in the last 2 weeks, the statistics show that 20% of all the cases are in under-12s. So, and interestingly, I mean, and disturbingly, a smallish number. In the last 2 weeks, 19 cases under-12s were hospitalised. So it's not a mild disease in every child. There are some children that get severe disease, so severe that they have to go to hospital. So that's a worry for the children. And then for the adults that come in contact with infected children, if they're vulnerable or haven't been vaccinated or immunity has waned, then they're susceptible. There doesn't seem to be that much transmission amongst young children between each other, but there is transmission, there can be, from infected children to adults. So that's a concern, and it suggests that we will eventually have, you know, I think we will see in other countries approvals of vaccines and their use for under-12s, and I wouldn't be surprised if the EMA approve it in the next few weeks, because the clinical trials have now been done for that age group, and I think you'll see the EMA licensing vaccines for under-12s in the coming weeks.
Now, what about the over-12s? Is it time to extend the provisions of the vaccine cert to the over-12s, because they are vaccinatable, if you'll pardon that word? So, in other words, you've got 17-year-olds who are effectively adults being allowed into places accompanied by an over 18 on the basis that they're allegedly children, but they're not vaccinated, even though they could be. I mean, that is a worrisome kind of situation. You've, say, a group of six or seven 17-year-olds accompanied by one 18-year-old to go to the cinema together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, but I mean, I think that the pubs may be less of an issue because of 17, you know, they shouldn't be there anyway, but I think in restaurants, and I mean, the point about certs in general, I mean, my view on the certs is they should be extended to places like cinemas and sporting and music and all events where there are large groups congregating. So you know, I was at the rugby match on Saturday with Leinster versus the Scarlets, and I was, my COVID cert was checked on admission. So you know, they can do that for 12,000 people to go to a rugby match, and it was done very effectively. There was no big issue about it. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, unnecessary drama about the need for checking COVID certs. I mean, I've been to a couple of restaurants where they do it, and they do it in seconds. Look at your COVID cert on your phone, and you're in. So it's not a huge issue, to be honest. Mm. And I think people should just buy into it.
The anecdotal evidence, though, is that not all restaurants and pubs are bothering to do it, because enforcement seems to be an issue. No one's quite sure how it is to be enforced. If you observe, for example, a group of people going in and no one's vaccine certs are checked, who do you call? Who do you alert if you are concerned yourself about those who have been admitted maybe to sit at the table beside you?
Well, personally, what I would do and what I would suggest other people do, if premises are not checking COVID certs, don't go in, quite frankly, because, you know, they're supposed to do it. And I certainly wouldn't feel safe myself going into a restaurant where the COVID certs were not being checked. So I think it's up to the public to police this themselves. And I think the pubs and restaurants, to be fair, should be doing it too, but the public should also have their part to play in it.
And finally then, Kingston, you mentioned the booster shots and how effective they've been in Israel, waning immunity boosted right back up to 95%. As a priority, NIAC are making a decision, hopefully today, one way or the other, although the WHO on the record yesterday with Gavin Riley suggesting that using supplies to inject people in less developed countries might be a better use of it. However, if you've got a vulnerable population, who should be next in line, do you think, for a booster?
I think obviously they've started on the right population, the over 80s, the people in nursing homes and people underlying medical conditions. But there were a lot of healthcare workers that got vaccinated back in very early in the program. And some of them got the AstraZeneca vaccine. And we know, and the same is the case with the 60 to 70 age group. Nearly all of that age group got the AstraZeneca vaccine. The data is very clear. The AstraZeneca and the Pfizer, or the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, have, you know, weaker immune responses. The antibody responses are not as strong as with the mRNA, and they drop off to a similar extent, but they start at a much lower level to start with. So all the data is pointed towards the fact that after several months, the antibody levels are struggling to contain the Delta variant. So we need to boost those that got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the AstraZeneca vaccine, and the older population over 60, at least over 60, because they're the ones that have immunity is weaker in older people. So the evidence for the younger population is tremendous, and particularly the 13 to 18 age group, significant drop off in the number of cases. Now, we're not even talking about hospitalization, we're talking about cases. So the vaccines there really, really work incredibly effectively. But in the older population, they don't work as effective, and they don't work as effectively if that vaccine was not an mRNA vaccine.
Okay, so roll out the boosters ASAP for those vulnerable groups. Michael Healy-Ray is listening to our conversation. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, to you and your listeners.
Now, the likelihood, and based on what Kingston Mills is saying from a scientific point of view, is that NPHET will probably advise maintaining the vaccine certs for admission to hospitality venues and perhaps might even extend the use of vaccine certs. What is your view?
Well, first of all, Kingston put forward a very good, what I would call, scientific case for the points that he is making. But on the other hand, the public, they have been very compliant. The vaccination program has been a great success for, it was unprecedented in our times. to think of such a rollout having to be undertaken, and there was great credit going to the people involved in the day-to-day working in the centres, who did an excellent job. But having said all of that, people's expectations are that we are going in the direction of getting back to a more normal way of life. But we want it to be safe. The one thing that no one of us wants at any stage is we do not want people to be sick and to die, or you know, older or vulnerable people to be impacted. People still are sadly losing loved relatives because of this pandemic, and that has to be recognised at all times during a debate like this. But at the same time, then, life has to go on. People are of the opinion now that they want to get back to normality in as many ways as they can. What we want to see happening is businesses being able to operate in a safe way, the reopening of society fully in a safe way. I would rely 100% on people themselves to be conscious going forward of the unnecessary things that we don't need to do, such as greeting people the way we always did in the past, shaking hands.
But the basic thing, Michael, just going back to the COVID certs, if 92% of the adult population are vaccinated, then 92% will have an adult cert. And having that as your business cohort in a restaurant or a pub, that's a pretty good customer base upon which to draw upon to fill your establishment.
It is, of course it is, and I'm listening very carefully, but that in itself has put additional drains on businesses where they have to take the details of the people going in, and it slows down business. And like, again, people want to do things safely, people want to operate, they want to get back to normal. I always said a divide, a society divided, because you have people who are very who didn't want to get vaccinated. And it's like everything in life, Pat, you have to respect their opinions as well. You don't want to put anyone else at risk, but you have to be open to listening to everybody's side.
I mean, the other option, Michael, is that if you have that 8% or whatever it is of the adult population who are not vaccinated, 300,000 people plus 70,000 who got one shot, that you offer them the facility of an antigen test. If they want to go out for a pint or whatever, the state perhaps could provide this service as they do in Germany and so on. And then there's no discrimination, because we know that that unvaccinated person is not infectious going into the pub. Fine.
Yes, and that there's a very sound and solid argument for that. And while we are talking about pubs, we're waking up to the news that statistics are recently out that 349 public houses throughout the country have unfortunately closed, have not reopened. I know the county that I represent, there's up and around 20 public houses not opening, or looks like they are not going to be able to open. So people, as in with their health, businesses have suffered greatly, and people are craving, that is actually the word I would use, to get back to normal in the safest way they possibly can.
Well, we shall know at this time tomorrow what the NPHET advice is, and perhaps later tomorrow afternoon we will know what the government's decision is. But Michael, thank you very much for joining us. Michael Healy-Ray, who is an independent TD for Kerry.